Chapter 2 The Basis of Stellar Diagnosis. Because the astral body of man is composed of psychoplasm, organized into stellar cells and stellar structures, which determine the condition of the cells and tissues of the physical body, a map of these stellar cells and structures, such as the birth chart and progress planetary positions afford, provides an unusually reliable method of diagnosis. Insofar as health or well-being in any department of life is concerned, disease is synonymous with discord and health is synonymous with harmony. Where harmony manifests, there is ease, and therefore lack of disease. Ease, however, is neither synonymous with power or activity. Consequently, in determining the condition of the stellar cells and stellar structures within any compartment of the astral body, we must consider the amount of their activity as well as whether or not they are composed of harmonious or discordant mental compounds. In matters of physical health, all 12 zones must be considered. Unlike most departments of life, the mental factors of which, organized as stellar cells and stellar structures, are confined chiefly to a single one of the 12 compartments within the astral body, no section of the whole astral body should be entirely neglected when considering physical health. Certain compartments, to be sure, and certain centers of energy dynamic stellar structures are more important, where physical health is concerned. But the astral body interpenetrates the physical body so completely, and its stellar cells and stellar structures are so closely associated with the physical cells and physical tissues of the zones, as indicated by the zodiacal signs, were mapped in the birth chart, that every stellar cell and every stellar structure has some influence over the corresponding cell and tissue of the physical body. In stellar diagnosis, therefore, as applied to the health of the physical body, all 12 zones, as mapped by the signs, should be scanned with the object in view of determining the power of the energy there located, preferably calculated in astrodynes, and whether and to what extent that energy is harmonious or discordant, preferably calculated as so many harmodynes or discordynes. Such as zones of the astral body: head, lungs, heart, stomach, etc., as map receiving set terminals, called also dynamic stellar structures, as shown by planets there located, require special consideration in matters of health, because even when the common thought cells of the zone have little power, the thought cells mapped by the terminals may be discordant enough to attract disease to that region. No impossibility is involved in the changing of the type of stellar structure occupying any compartment of the astral body. Its psychoplasm and its cells have been built by states of consciousness that have a definite composition. And this composition can be altered by adding to them states of consciousness of an appropriate kind. The birth chart does not of necessity map the kind of stellar cells and stellar structures within the astral body of an individual at any later period of life. It only maps, and very accurately, the mental composition of the astral body in great detail at the moment of birth. It shows what kind of stellar cells and what kind of stellar organization occupied each compartment of the astral body at the time the individual was born. But because the basic factors of character change so slowly, those stellar cells and stellar structures that are weakest at birth usually remain so throughout life. In fact, they do remain weakest throughout life, unless some unusual effort is made to give them a different composition. And very few people are sufficiently versed either in mental alchemy or in stellar healing to work intelligently to bring about such desirable changes. Birth chart and progress constants should be determined statistically as a general rule, then, from which the exceptions are so few, as revealed by statistical study of thousands of birth charts, that they need no consideration in ordinary practice. The birth chart correctly maps both the strong and healthy and the weak and defective stellar structures within the astral body. And the defective structures, discordantly compounded of mental factors, each according to its particular location and nature, represent a corresponding lack of balance or vigor in the physical tissues of the body where located. Discordantly compounded stellar structures map those regions in the physical body which are particularly susceptible to disease. From the birth chart, therefore, can be determined, and quite reliably, the particular kind of disease to which any individual is predisposed. Such determination is not a matter of theory but, when proper methods are followed, rests upon carefully collected and compiled statistics. I am not in the least in favor of drawing conclusions from inference as to what astrological conditions in the birth chart coincide with a tendency to some particular disease. Instead, I believe that the birth charts of people who have actually suffered from a given disease should be collected. The more birth charts covering the particular disease, the better. But in our own research department we never consider that the report is fully finished until at least 100 birth charts of persons suffering from the disease have been analyzed. With such a list of birth charts at hand, a comparative study invariably reveals certain astrological factors common to all of them. These factors stand out in such prominence that they afford a certain guide to the detection, from the birth chart, whether or not there is a tendency to the disease in question. When any birth chart does not show these astrological factors, we may be sure that person will not have this particular disease. In any birth chart which does show these astrological factors, we may be sure, even though the disease has not developed as yet, that there is a weakness which, were it given proper opportunity, would permit the expression of the disease. It is also demonstrated by the collected statistics that the time when the disease develops coincides, according to the particular disease under consideration, with major progressed aspects to definite planets. Consequently, for the purpose of research work in establishing the astrological constants for any given disease, data are only valuable when the time of the person's birth, as well as the date, place and sex are known, and only when the date, at least approximately, when the illness became manifest also is known. Thus the astrological basis of stellar diagnosis is that of statistically compiled reports, each report being confined to determining the birth chart constants and the major progressed constants of the single specific disease or other condition. Conditions other than body diseases are mentioned because the predisposition to any type of condition or event can be diagnosed in the same manner. And the afflictions of any department of life are as amenable to stellar healing as are those of body diseases. In the reference book, When and What Events Will Happen, statistics based on 100 charts for each event indicate the progressed constants for 20 different events, and under the heading, Precautionary Actions, is given for each the type of thought energy, which should be used as a mental antidote. This same type of energy is that which should be employed by the stellar healer to overcome the indicated difficulty, but in addition to applying the mental antidote he should also employ planetary energy of this type. The stellar healer should have at hand reference volumes containing classified reports giving the statistical analysis of, and the birth chart and progressed constants for, all the various diseases and ills of human life. The compilation of such volumes is a tremendous task. In the last 20 years we have mailed several hundred thousand blank forms soliciting the astrological information needed for this work. While the response to these appeals for astrological data has been quite liberal, there are so many diseases that should be considered that of the body diseases. Thus far we have been able to get the full 100 data only for operations, typhoid fever, cancer, pneumonia, tuberculosis, appendicitis and infantile paralysis. The full reports on these 7 diseases and on length of life, together with an explanation of endocrine reactions to planets and thoughts and some other material, are embraced in the reference book, Body Disease and Its Stellar Treatment 1. The Church of Light Astrological Research Department expects eventually to make statistical studies of each significant condition of life, such as the relation between two birth charts that point to harmony in marriage, to make statistical studies of vocations not embraced in the 30 analyzed in the reference book, How to Select a Vocation 1, to make statistical studies of events not embraced in the 20 analyzed in the reference book, When and What Events Will Happen 1, and to make statistical studies on each significant disease not embraced in the reference book, Body Disease and Its Stellar Treatment 1. These studies will each be made on 100 charts, and the material handled in the manner it is presented in the above-mentioned reference books. While as yet not able to publish a final report on more than the 7 mentioned diseases, we do have enough data on hand covering some 160 different health difficulties that I feel justified in giving the preliminary findings relative to their birth chart and progress constants. Our preliminary reports on the 7 diseases, on which we now have the 100 data, were correct in all the birth chart and progress constants listed. But when we had the 100 to analyze, we found that in addition to the constants we had found with a limited number of charts, in each case there were additional constants not clearly revealed, when only a few charts were at hand for analysis. I believe, therefore, that the constants given in this work for each disease will be found reliable, but that in most instances there will be additional constants discovered, when we are able to analyze the charts of 100 persons who have suffered from the disease. As professional healers will know the condition both by its technical name and its common name, and as this work will be read by many unfamiliar with the technical designation of diseases, the health difficulties will be here listed alphabetically under the general designation by which they are commonly recognized by the lay public. The electromagnetic body is composed of two types of energy. The life of the body is electromagnetic. The positive, electrical energies are ruled by the sun. On their power and harmony depend the vitality and the recuperative ability. The negative, magnetic energies, which nourish the constitution and are essential in maintaining health, are ruled by the moon. It is the interaction of the solar electrical energy with the lunar magnetic energy that provides the nerve currents and gives that which we call life to the physical body. Vitality, recuperative power, and length of life, as shown by the analysis of 150 persons' charts who live beyond 70 years, considered in Body Disease and Its Stellar Treatment, are dependent upon the power and harmony of the sun in the chart of birth. While the moon governs the constitutional magnetism, it is only one factor, although the most important one, engaging the strength or weakness of the constitution, and therefore whether or not the individual is readily attacked by disease. As indicated in the statistics relative to the individuals who live more than 70 years, a powerful and harmonious moon contributes markedly to length of life. It indicates ability of the constitution to resist disease. The moon, however, is only one factor engaging the strength of the constitution. Every planet in the chart maps the state of activity of the most energetic thought cells in its particular region of the astral body, maps where the most active group of this type is located, and by its harmony or discord the number of harmodynes or discordynes indicates the strength of the desires of the thought cells they're located for, health or disease. Even the sun, in addition to mapping the stellar cells, on whose activities and desires the vitality and recuperative power depends, also by its power and harmony or discord indicates the condition of the physical tissues in that region of the physical body, and to what extent, as shown by the number of harmodynes or discordynes the Sun's stellar cells work to attract health or the diseases characteristic of the Sun. In determining the ability of the constitution to resist disease, therefore, the power and harmony or discord of every planet and sign must be taken into consideration. Ability to survive does not depend solely on the strength and harmony of the vitality, or solely on the strength and harmony of the constitution. However weak and discordant the constitution, the individual, in spite of recurrent and serious illness, will recover and live to a good age, if the Sun is powerful and harmonious enough. And however weak the vitality, the individual will have little illness, while he does live, if his constitution is powerful and harmonious, although he may not live to any great age. The individual dies when, coincident with heavy discordant major progressed aspects, the constitution becomes too weak to enable the vital recuperative power of the Sun to counteract that weakness and discord. Maintaining life depends upon the relative power and harmony or discord of these two factors. Next in importance to the dynamic thought structure, which acts as the terminal for the reception of the vital force, mapped by the Sun, and the terminal for the reception of the magnetic force, mapped by the Moon, is the terminal mapped by Mercury. Mercury is truly the messenger. The electromagnetic energies, which flow over the nerves are furnished by the Sun and Moon, but the vibratory rate to which these currents are tuned is determined chiefly by the thoughts and feelings of which the individual is objectively conscious. The thoughts and the nerve currents are ruled by Mercury. Following Mercury in importance, insofar as health is concerned, is the ascendant and the first house. Not only are the electromagnetic energies of the body grounded by the heavy line mapped by the ascendant, but the thoughts relative to the physical body and personality gravitate to the first house astral compartment. And the sixth house also is important, because it maps the compartment of the astral body, to which move the thoughts about illness. The significance of the first house and the sixth house, where illness is concerned, will readily be recognized when it is realized that the statistical analysis of hundreds of charts progressed to the time of an illness shows that a serious illness of any kind practically never occurs except during those periods when there is a major progressed aspect to a ruler of the first and at the same time a major progressed aspect to a ruler of the sixth. Rallying forces dominate through feeling, but this does not signify that the discord chiefly responsible for the manifestation of the disease at the time was mapped by the aspect either to the ruler of the first or to the ruler of the sixth. On the contrary, the discord which enabled the disease to manifest frequently was not mapped by the sixth house or the first house. It commonly had its origin in some other compartments of the astral body. But in order that the discordant energies, stirring pernicious thought compounds into activity and creating conflict among the thought cells, and tearing down thought structures, should be able to influence the physical health, some temporary stellar aerial had to give them access to both the compartment of the astral body governing the physical body and the compartment of the astral body governing illness. These temporary stellar aerials, mapped by progressed aspects to the ruler of the first or the ascendant and the ruler of the sixth, may have been either harmonious or discordant. They may, or may not, have indicated the chief factor of discord at the time. But the statistics show that more frequently than not there was no aspect between the heavy progressed affliction at the time and either of these two compartments, or houses. What really happened in most of these cases was that heavy discordant aspects formed, which were not directly associated with either the first house or the sixth house. More frequently than not, the Sun or Moon was involved in these powerfully discordant aspects. Thus the vitality or the magnetic nutriment was affected. But whether Sun or Moon was, or was not involved, In every case, a discordant temporary stellar area was present, as indicated by a major progressed aspect, which picked up and radiated the energy of the planets corresponding to its terminals, in volume and in distressing discord. This discordant planetary energy reaching the stellar cells at the terminals of the aerials, stimulated these into destructive activity. And because of their power, these tended to communicate their discord to the nerve currents at these points. If the individual permitted himself to be strongly influenced in his feelings by the astral discords of these compartments thus stimulated by discordant planetary energies, the dial of his consciousness, not a thought process but a feeling process to the extent he thus permitted it, was thus turned so as to tune in on these discordant astral energies. As he permitted himself to feel discord, his nervous system, through the electrical energies flowing over it, picked up planetary energies of this type, and gave them free access to any stellar aerials that were present. Electromagnetic energy is the only avenue by which astral energies can influence physical substance, and it is thus the natural conductor of planetary energies. But to be a conductor for any particular type of astral energy, it must have a corresponding vibratory rate. That is, it must be tuned in on the astral energy it transmits. When the individual feels intensely this feeling, if he occupies a physical body, is the recognition by his consciousness of electromagnetic vibrations of a particular type. Whatever he feels, to the extent it constitutes a dominant feeling, his electromagnetic body and nerve currents are tuned in on. And, which is a most important factor in stellar healing, he can, and does, tune in on any vibratory quality the feeling of which he can induce in himself. Through his thoughts he induces feeling. His feeling tunes him in on planetary vibrations of the type corresponding to this feeling. That is why Mercury, which rules cerebral activity and the nerves, has so much power over what conditions enter his life. When the individual is tuned in on a particular planetary vibration, his nerve currents not only pick up this type of vibration from the astral energies reaching him from the planets, from character vibrations of objects, and from the thoughts of similar rate radiated by others, but these nerve currents also act as natural conductors for the astral energy of corresponding vibratory rate picked up by a temporary stellar aerial. Thus, if a powerful temporary stellar aerial is formed, as mapped by a powerful progressed aspect, and its vibrations are permitted to dominate the feelings, the nerve currents readily conduct its energy wherever they reach. And as they reach other temporary stellar aerials that are present at the same time, they enable the astral energy from the dominant temporary aerial to span the gap and travel over this other temporary aerial to its terminal. This weaker temporary aerial thus is not permitted to pick up its own type of energy unimpeded. Instead, under such circumstances, its own energy is dominated by these energies of another kind, which are called rallying forces. Permanent aerials always have a pronounced influence upon the condition which develops. But a physical disease only develops, except when present from birth, when there is a major progressed aspect of some kind to both a ruler of the first house, and to a ruler of the sixth house. These temporary aerials are necessary to carry the rallying forces present into those compartments having to do with health and disease. Stellar diagnosis: the importance of the event any group of thought cells is able to bring into the life depends upon their power. This applies to the diseases they attract as well as to other events. Even when little discord is present, the overactivity of a group of stellar cells may throw the endocrine secretions and other functions out of balance and encourage disease. Thus, a powerful Saturn trine moon gives a predisposition toward ear trouble, but the difficulty is apt to be much less severe than when Saturn is square moon. A powerful Mars trine or sextile moon gives a predisposition toward eye difficulty, but the difficulty is apt to be much less severe than when Mars is opposition Moon. The predisposition towards specific disease can only be ascertained from statistically determined birth chart and progress constants of these diseases. These constants are found to relate to the power of certain planets, in certain instances relate to aspects between certain planets, and often depend upon these planets being highly discordant. While the signs usually indicate the zones afflicted by the disease, otherwise they are seldom significant as constants. Each planet, however, as will be indicated in a subsequent lesson, rules certain glands and organs of the body, and when unduly active or highly discordant tends toward diseases of its own special type. The general rule is that the most discordant planet, the one having the most discord ions in the chart, indicates the predisposition, which is most likely to develop into its characteristic disease, and, other things being equal, the most discordant sign, the one having the most discord ions in the chart, represents the region most likely to be affected by disease. The second most discordant planet represents the next most likely predisposition to disease, and the next most discordant sign represents the next most likely region to be affected by disease, and so on. While calculating its astral ions is the most precise way of judging a planet's power, the flat rate method used in finding the birth chart constants considers that when a planet receives very powerful aspects, especially if a heavy aspect is not more than 1 degree from perfect, it must be considered powerful irrespective of not being in an angle or aspecting Sun, Moon or Mercury. But such power constitutes an exception to the general rule that only such planets in a birth chart as are in an angle, or which aspect Sun, Moon or Mercury with a reasonable degree of closeness, are to be considered powerful. In addition to the heavy discords indicating the predisposition towards specific types of disease, in considering the general tendency toward health difficulties, these five factors also should receive special attention in this order of importance. 1. The Sun as ruling the vitality. 2. The Moon as ruling the magnetic constitution. 3. Mercury as ruling the objective thoughts. 4. The ascendant and first house, as representing the physical body. 5. The sixth house as representing the zone of least resistance. At the time some disease does develop, not only are there major progressed aspects to a ruler of the first and a ruler of the sixth, but also to the planets, which constitute the progressed constants of the disease. Thus, from the progress constants can be determined which one of the birth chart predispositions has been given the additional planetary energy to enable it to attract its type of disease. In such stellar diagnosis, physical symptoms and the contribution to the disease made by physical environment should also be given due weight, for thought selectivity can develop certain diseases only when specific physical agents are present. Events, including illness, take place when the resistance of the environment to the specific event is not too great to be overcome by the extra physical power of the thought cells, which are working to bring this event to pass. Calculating the power of signs and houses after the total power of each planet, the MC and USC have been calculated in a chart. It is a very simple matter from the number of astral ions so found also to calculate the power of each sign and house in the chart. The power of a birth chart sign rule, unless it is an intercepted sign, or occupies more than one house, the unoccupied power of a sign is one half the power of its ruler. The unoccupied power of an intercepted sign is one fourth the power of its ruler. When a sign occupies the cusp of more than one house, its unoccupied power is ascertained by allowing one-half the power of its ruler for each house cusp it occupies. The total power of a sign is ascertained by adding its unoccupied power to the total power of each planet including MC or USC in the sign. The power of a birth chart house rule to the unoccupied power of the sign on the cusp of the house, add the unoccupied power of any intercepted sign in the house and the total power of all planets including MC or USC in the house. Double rulership sign Scorpio is ruled by both Pluto and Mars. Aquarius is ruled by both Uranus and Saturn. Pisces is ruled by both Neptune and Jupiter. Rule when a sign has two rulers, add the total power of both rulers and divide the sum by two. The result will then be the power in reality, the average power of the two rulers of the ruler of the sign. It is a great saving in work to calculate the power of each sign and house of a chart at the same time. We will now apply the rules in this manner to the chart of John Edwards, which is given on page 4 of lesson number 197. The power of each planet in his chart, calculated according to the rules given in lesson number 197, is given in a table on page 34 of this lesson. Sagittarius is on the USC. Jupiter, its ruler, has 41.19 astrodynes, dividing 41.19 by 2 gives the power of the unoccupied sign, as 20.60 astrodynes. The USC has 24.03 astrodynes. 20.60 plus 24.03 gives the power of Sagittarius, as 44.63 astrodynes. As there is no planet in the first house, the power of the first house is also 44.63 astrodynes. Capricorn is on the cusp of the second house. Saturn, its ruler, has 41.18 astrodynes, dividing 41.18 by 2 gives the power of Capricorn, as 20.59 astrodynes. Aquarius, having two rulers, is intercepted in the second house. Saturn, one ruler, has 41.18 astrodynes. Uranus, the other ruler, has 37.54 astrodynes. 41.18 plus 37.54 gives 78.7. 78.72 divided by 8 1/4 the average power, as the sign is intercepted, gives the power of Aquarius, as 9.84 astrodynes. Venus, in the second house, has 34.20 astrodynes. 20.59 Capricorn plus 9.84 Aquarius plus 34.20 gives the power of the second house, as 64.63 astrodynes. Pisces, on the cusp of the third house, has two rulers. Neptune, one ruler, has 35.86 astrodynes. Jupiter, the other ruler, has 41.19 astrodynes. 35.86 plus 41.19 gives 77.05. Dividing 77.05 by 4 1/2 the average power gives the unoccupied power of Pisces, as 19.26 astrodynes. Pisces holds four planets: Venus with 34.20 astrodynes, Uranus with 37.54 astrodynes, Moon with 24.83 astrodynes, and Sun with 21.60 astrodynes. 19.26 unoccupied Pisces plus 34.20 plus 37.54 plus 25.83 plus 21.60 gives the power of Pisces, as 138.43 astrodynes. The third house holds four planets: Uranus with 37.54 astrodynes, Moon with 24.83 astrodynes, Sun with 21.60 astrodynes, and Mercury with 38.48 astrodynes. 19.26 unoccupied Pisces plus 37.54 plus 25.83 plus 21.60 plus 38.48 gives the power of the third house, as 142.71 astrodynes. Aries is on the cusp of the fourth house. Mars, its ruler, has 53.41 astrodians. Dividing 53.41 by 2 gives the unoccupied power of Aries, as 26.71 astrodines. As no planet is in the fourth, the power of the fourth house is also 26.71 astrodines. Mercury, in Aries, has 38.48 astrodines. 26.71 unoccupied Aries plus 38.48 gives the power of Aries, as 65.19 astrodines. Taurus is on the cusp of the fifth house and also on the cusp of the sixth house. Venus, its ruler, has 34.20 astrodines. Dividing 34.20 by 2 gives the power of the fifth house, as 17.10 astrodines, and the power of the sixth house also as 17.10 astrodines. As Taurus occupies two house cusps, it has double the power of one of these unoccupied houses, or the full power of Venus. The power of Taurus is thus 34.20 astrodines. Gemini is on the cusp of the seventh house. Mercury, its ruler, has 38.48 astrodines. Dividing 38.48 by 2 gives the power of Gemini, as 19.24 astrodines. Pluto, in the seventh house, has 61.32 astrodines. 19.24 Gemini plus 61.32 gives the power of the seventh house, as 80.56 astrodines. Cancer is on the cusp of the eighth house. The moon, its ruler, has 24.83 astrodines. Dividing 24.83 by 2 gives the power of unoccupied Cancer, as 12.42 astrodines. Pluto, in Cancer, has 60.32 astrodines. 12.92 unoccupied Cancer plus 61.32 gives the power of Cancer, as 73.74 astrodines. Leo is intercepted in the 8th house. The Sun, its ruler, has 21.60 astrodines. Dividing 21.60 by 4, because intercepted gives the unoccupied power of Leo, as 5.40 astrodines. Leo holds two planets, Jupiter with 41.19 astrodines, and Neptune with 35.86 astrodines. 5.40 unoccupied Leo plus 41.19 plus 35.86 gives the power of Leo, as 82.45 astrodines. 12.42 unoccupied Cancer plus 82.46 intercepted Leo and the planets it holds gives the power of the 8th house, as 94.88 astrodines. Virgo is on the cusp of the 9th house. Mercury, its ruler, has 38.48 astrodines. Dividing 38.48 by 2 gives the unoccupied power of Virgo, as 19.24 astrodines. Saturn, in Virgo, has 41.18 astrodines. 19.24 unoccupied Virgo plus 41.18 gives the power of Virgo, as 60.42 astrodines. As Saturn is the only planet in the ninth, the power of the ninth house is also 60.42 astrodines. Libra is on the cusp of the 10th house. Venus, its ruler, has 34.20 astrodines. Dividing 34.20 by 2 gives the unoccupied power of Libra, as 17.10 astrodines. The MC, in Libra, has 57.05 astrodines. 17.10 unoccupied Libra plus 57.05 gives the power of Libra, as 74.15 astrodines. As there is no planet in the 10th, this gives the power of the 10th house also as 74.15 astrodines. The cusp of the 11th house and the cusp of the 12th house are both occupied by Scorpio. Scorpio has two rulers. Mars, one ruler, has 53.41 astrodigms. Pluto, the other ruler, has 61.32 astrodigms. 53.41 plus 61.32 gives 114.73, dividing 114.73 by 4 1/2. The average power gives the unoccupied power of Scorpio on each house cusp, as 28.68 astrodigms. As there is no planet in the 12th house, the power of the 12th house is thus 28.68 astrodigms. Mars, in the 11th house, has 53.41 astrodigms. 28.68 Scorpio on its cusp plus 53.41 gives the power of the 11th house, as 82.09 astrodigms. Dividing 114.73 by 2 to get the average power of Mars and Pluto gives the unoccupied power of Scorpio occupying two house cusps, as 57.37 astrodigms. Mars, in Scorpio, has 53.41 astrodigms. 57.37 unoccupied Scorpio plus 53.41 gives the power of Scorpio, as 110.78 astrodigms. Harmodynes and discordynes. From what has already been said in relation to the most discordant planet in the chart indicating the type of disease toward which an individual is most predisposed, and the further observation that in general the tendency for the disease so indicated to develop is proportional to the amount of discord added to its birth chart constants by progressed aspects, it will be recognized that in stellar diagnosis it is important to have as precise a method as possible for measuring both birth chart and progressed discord. Including illness, the events and conditions of life are commonly appraised from two different points of view, their importance and their benefit or detriment. Their importance in the life is indicated by the power in the birth chart or progressed chart, or both, of the aspect, planet, sign or house relating to them. Their fortune or misfortune, on the other hand, is indicated by the harmony or discord in the birth chart or progressed chart, or both, of the aspect, planet, sign or house relating to them. And even as there are various instances in which, to ascertain the probable importance of an indicated event or condition, it is better to use the more precise method of measurement by determining the number of astrodigms involved, rather than to employ the flat rate method of inspection, so also in determining the fortune or misfortune of an indicated event or condition, there are many instances in which it is better to discard the flat rate method of inspection and employ the more precise method of ascertaining the number of harmodynes or discordynes involved. Inspection will indicate that a given aspect in a chart is harmonious or discordant. But as such, harmony or discord indicates that the activities of the house or houses ruled by one of the planets will influence for good or ill the activities of the house or houses ruled by the other planet, it often is desirable to ascertain just how much benefit or detriment is indicated by the aspect. For this purpose, it is advantageous to learn how many harmodynes, or how many discordynes are represented by the aspect. There are still more instances, in which it is valuable to know how much harmony, or discord a planet in the chart has. Ability is not the only factor in gaining success. As pointed out in the analysis of the 30 different vocations included in the reference book, How to Select a Vocation 1. The harmony or discord of the planets ruling the things with which the individual must associate in his business seem equally important. This luck factor can be gauged far more precisely when the number of harmodynes or discordynes carried by each planet in the chart of birth are known than they can by the flat rate method of inspection. As revealed by statistical analysis in the reference book, when and what events will happen 1. Certain events such as acquiring money, getting employment, and benefiting through friends, as well as length of life analyzed in the reference book, Body Disease and Its Stellar Treatment 1 occur more advantageously in the lives of those who have the planets ruling given houses harmonious and more often, when there is a harmonious progressed aspect to such a planet, and certain other events such as accidents, loss of money, loss of employment. Divorce and death of offspring occur more often in the lives of those who have the planets ruling certain houses discordant, and more often at those times when such a planet receives a discordant progressed aspect. And, as these events largely depend upon the amount of harmony or discord shown by the significant planet, it is highly advantageous to know not merely that the planet is harmonious or discordant, but how many harmodynes or discordynes the planet carries. Statistical analysis of thousands of charts also shows that the most significant factor in disease is discord. The unusual power of some planet may indicate some predisposition toward its type of disease, but the predisposition increases in direct ratio to the discord of the planet. It is advantageous, therefore, to know just how many discordines such a planet carries. How much the things including names, numbers, gems, home location, etc. with which closely associated influence the life of an individual is determined by the power of the signs ruling them in his chart. But how much they influence him to his benefit is indicated by the number of harmodynes of these signs in his birth chart and progress chart. And how much they influence him to his detriment is indicated by the number of discordynes of these signs in his birth chart and progress chart. It is well, therefore, to have as precise a measure as possible of such harmony or discord. How active a given department of life is may be gauged by its power. But whether that department of life will be fortunate or unfortunate must be gauged by its harmony or discord. How harmonious or how discordant indicates whether an individual should follow a business which requires the activity of the given house, whether he should cultivate such activities or whether he should shun them. And it is better to use the precise method of ascertaining the number of harmodynes or discordynes of the house than to rely on the flat rate method of inspection. The zones of the body affected by disease are indicated by the zodiacal signs. Power has some influence, but as a general rule, the more discordant the sign in the chart of birth, the more apt it is to be the region attacked by disease. In stellar diagnosis, we select the heaviest afflictions as indicating the types of disease toward which there is a predisposition, the one having the most discordines indicating the type of disease toward which there is most predisposition, and the sign having the most discordines as the region, other things being equal, most likely to be attacked. In stellar diagnosis, therefore, it is especially desirable to use a more precise method of gauging both birth chart and progressed harmony and discord than the flat rate method of inspection. There are three things which may influence a planet's harmony or discord. 1. Signs. 2. The nature of the planets making the aspect. 3. The nature of the aspect between two planets. 1. The essential dignity of a planet contributes to its harmony or discord. On page 36 of this lesson will be found a table of essential dignities. On page 20 will be found a table of essential dignity values. 2. Saturn is the major malefic and Jupiter is the major benefic. When Saturn is involved in an aspect, one half its power is made discordant by its nature alone. When Jupiter is involved in an aspect, one half its power is made harmonious by its nature alone. When Mars is involved in an aspect, one fourth its power is made discordant by its nature alone. When Venus is involved in an aspect, one fourth its power is made harmonious by its nature alone. This influence of the malefics and benefics applies to the three neutral aspects conjunction, inconjunct and parallel, as well as to the three harmonious and four discordant aspects. 3. The three harmonious aspects are trine, sextal, semi-sextal. The power of the three harmonious aspects expressed as astrodynes is equivalent to the same number of harmodynes, written with a plus sign, before the number expressing the power. The four discordant aspects are opposition, square, sisky square, semi-square. The power of each of the four discordant aspects expressed as astrodynes is equivalent to the same number of discordynes, written with a minus sign, before the number expressing the power. The three neutral aspects are conjunction, inconjunct, parallel. The MC, US, Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, Sun, Moon and Mercury are considered neutral, when their essential nature is uninfluenced by harmonious or discordant aspect. Unless Saturn, Jupiter, Mars or Venus is involved in the aspect, the neutral aspects increase the power of the planet, but do not influence its harmony or discord. Power which is neither harmonious nor discordant is considered neutral. It increases the amount of work the thought cells possessing it can do, adding to the importance of the events or conditions attracted, but adding nothing to, and subtracting nothing from, the fortune or misfortune of that which is attracted. Rule to ascertain the number of harmodynes or discordynes expressed by a planet, add together the harmodynes expressed by each aspect the planet makes, the Mistra mutual reception and its plus dignity. Add together the discordynes expressed by each aspect the planet makes, and its minus dignity. Then add the two sums algebraically, subtracting the smaller number from the greater. The remainder with a plus before it will be the net total harmodynes of the planet, or with a minus, before it will be the net total discordynes of the planet. When calculating the power of the planets in the chart, it is convenient for the work which follows to make a grill showing the power of each aspect made by a planet, and placing before the number of astrodynes thus indicated the symbol of the aspect. Such a power grill for the chart of John Edwards will be found on page 67 of lesson number 199. Then in calculating the harmony of each planet in the chart, it is well to make another somewhat similar grill, in which each aspect expressing harmodynes or discordynes is noted under its planetary heading, followed by the number of harmodynes or discordynes, these indicated by a plus or a minus, before the number expressing them. There should be also a column showing the harmodynes or discordynes of each planet due to dignity, a column for the total harmodynes of each planet, a column for the total discordynes of each planet, and a final column in which the net total harmodynes or discordynes of each planet are listed. Neutral aspects between neutral planets are ignored in such calculations, and are not listed in the harmony grill. Such a harmony grill for the chart of John Edwards will be found on page 40 of this book.